The last time we met, we covered the first 12 verses of chapter 1 with 1 Peter. We read as Peter reminded us of who we are in Christ. We are the elect and the adopted into the family of God, being given an inheritance that we don't deserve. It was by the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he made a way for us that we couldn't make on our own. There was no way that we could possibly make this happen. We also read that our salvation is protected by God and that no one can take us out of the palm of his hand. He protects us. And since we're assured of these things, Peter is now telling us how we should be living as Christians. The writings that he's writing aren't commandments in that we have a doctrine of commandments that we have to follow, like the Ten Commandments. They're instructions on how we should live because we call ourselves Christians. It's instructions on what we should expect from ourselves. Christians should be looking for the scriptures that give us direction in our lives. You know, quite often we read the scriptures and we're looking for what other people need to hear. Boy, I want to share this one with that guy. He's a jerk and he needs to hear this scripture. Or we may be in a Sunday setting and, you know, the pastor says something and the next thing you know, it's like, you hear him? You hear him? Hear what he said? My message isn't to the person next to you or in front of you or behind you. The message is for you. See, God wants to speak to you. Going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesday Bible studies and all of that, it's all great. It's all good. But those Bible studies are for growing here, knowledge, to get the knowledge of the Word of God, to hear from the Word of God what he may be saying. But it's the devotional time that we spend with Jesus Christ that we really hear him speak to us personally. It's when I am sitting alone in my chair reading the Word of God and saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to me about? And he responds through his word or sometimes just through thoughts that come into my head. And he speaks to me. And those are the times where I grow in my relationship with him, because I'm not only hearing from him, I'm hearing what he wants me to hear, not what I think I should be hearing. When I do a Bible study, I'm also growing, I'm learning, because I'm learning things that I'm going to share here. So it's much different from having a Bible study to really having a devotional time with the Lord. So either way, we should want to know what God wants to say to us. We should be looking for the moments where God is speaking to us. And sometimes he may use me. Sometimes he may use the person sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you, or someone that isn't even here right now. And they call and they share something with you. You know, that's how God speaks. And we should live our lives for him, to honor him and respect him and thank him for those things. It should be part of our lives. Today's message is titled, Living the Christian Life. We continue our study through 1 Peter with chapter 1 in verse 13, where Peter writes, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. The attire in Peter's day was much different than our attire today. They wore robes. The men wore long robes. And when they would go to battle or if they would go to work, they would take the robe and they would bring it up around them and they would tie it up. And some had like a sash or a girdle that would tie up and hold the robe up off the ground. So their legs were exposed and were free to move around. It gave them a lot of freedom and mobility without tripping over their robe. That's what girding up means. That's called girding up the robe. And here, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Oh, where is my mind? Where's your robe? It's in the gutter. The robe is like there at the longest part. It's the furthest away from my mind. It's something I'm tripping over. And for me to be fully mobile, to have full access, I need to gird up that robe. Well, the same way we need to gird up our mind, because our mind isn't always in the place that God wants it to be. Our mind is distracted by the things of the world. You know, bowls, Super Bowls. And we can be focused on things that aren't really important in the big scheme of things. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to watch a game and to have excitement and stuff like that. I'm not saying that we just need to be sour about everything, but our primary focus should always be, what does God want us to be looking at? What does God want us to be focused on? What does God want us to have as the center of our attention? And quite often, it's not the things of God that happen to be the center of our attention. And we need to always look and evaluate ourselves to make sure that we are focused on the right things. I'm not saying that we should only be focused on spiritual things. We still have a life to live. We still have to provide for our families and so on and so forth. That's all part of life. But that doesn't mean that when we're doing that, we're exempt from having to pay attention to the things that God is speaking to us about spiritually. You see, we are spiritual beings at the same time we're fleshly, physical beings. At the same time, we're both. You know, so we have to live in both worlds. But it just seems like the flesh has the dominance in our lives. We're more focused on the flesh than we are on the spiritual because, you know, if you forget about spiritual things for a little while, it's no big deal. But if you forget to put your clothes on in the morning, you're going to be cold or hot or whatever it is. You see, so you're always thinking about the flesh. You know, if I forget to brush, my wife will remind me, hey, that's the flesh, that I need to attend to. But that doesn't mean I have to leave the spiritual behind to attend to the flesh. So our primary focus shouldn't be on how much joy and enjoyment we can get out of the earth. But that doesn't mean God wants us to not have any joy here on earth. But in the joy that we have, in the time that we have here, how can we further be used by Him to minister to others? He still wants to minister to others even when we're having fun. He still wants us to represent Him well in all of those things. And we just need to realize that. We need to recognize the importance of being an ambassador and the impact that we can have on others. That's why we're told here to be sober. When we're sober, we're clear-minded. We're thinking. We're focused. When we're not sober, we're not focused. And just anything come out of our mouths if we're not sober. But being sober, and it's not so much alcohol-related, it's more related to being thoughtful, being focused on the things of God, and not to be distracted or inebriated by the things of the world. We can easily become drunk on things other than alcohol or drugs or whatever. We can easily be consumed with other things. We were at Disneyland this past week, and it's easy to be consumed with other, well, we had the grandkids there. So, I mean, you know, we were having a wonderful time, a joyful time, just, you know, having my granddaughter up on my shoulders, you know, being hunched over for the next 3 days. But it was great. It was wonderful. It was worth every moment of pain to have that. The best time that I had was when I was in the line for Indiana Jones, and my stepson and I were having a conversation, and it was all about what is going on in the world and what the Lord is doing in the world. And we had this great discussion, a great in-depth discussion about what the Lord is doing. I know other people around us could hear us, you know, and I was just sharing with him, and he was asking questions, and it was just neat. And that was one of the best moments of the whole trip, you know. And we can have fun and be able to live as an example of the Lord, you know, for others to see. So being sober doesn't mean that we have to be sober every moment, but it does mean we need to be serious about the things of the Lord. Next, Peter tells us where our hope should come from. It rests fully upon grace. And that grace is the foundation not only of our present, but of our future. That grace is where our hope is in. Because without the grace of God, we would have no hope for the future. There isn't anything else. But it's because of the grace of God that we have hope and we have a future. It's Jesus going to the cross providing that grace. That was the ultimate example of grace, is him going to the cross for us. And so when we take communion, we just are remembering the grace of God, the love of God for us. Then observe in verse 14 that we're to do all of this as obedient children, not following after our former lusts. You know, and in this world, many of us have come from backgrounds where we have great regret. We look back and say, wow, my life was terrible before I became a Christian. You know, I regret a lot of what I did. But I went through all that, and now I have a testimony that I can share with the world. You know, and I don't glorify the things that I did in my past. It's not to show what I did and how wonderful it was and the great time. No, I was miserable. My whole time growing up, I was miserable. Even at the best times, I was miserable because I didn't have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you don't have that, you're always missing the one thing that you need. And so you can never be completely content until you reach that point. And so I was disobedient. I lived by my own lusts. I was ignorant. And those former lusts is what we desired. That's what was in our hearts. And we were just following those things until Jesus came into my life and my desires changed. He gave me the desires of my heart. Not that he gave me my heart's desires, whatever I desired, he gave to me, but he gave me the desires that I needed in my heart to have peace, to have the joy that I can experience in Jesus Christ. So we didn't know that we could have a relationship like that with God up until we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. We didn't know what we were missing. And then you receive Jesus Christ and you say, wow, why did I wait so long? And I wanted to go out and I just wanted to share the Lord with the world. My friends, they weren't as enamored as I was. I may have been a little obnoxious about sharing the Lord. Now, many years later, I can go out and I can share first by my love, and then with my words, I can share with my testimony. And it's because of the fact that the ignorant lusts of the past are still there at times. But I recognize that that's just the flesh. And I don't get distracted by those things. Oh, they try. But I know where my joy, where my peace comes from. And it goes back to that relationship with Him. Now that we know what we know, who we know, we should live like we know. In obedience to God who loves us. And He only wants the best for us. He's never going to send us in a direction that we're going to be disappointed with. So all we have to do is continue down the road. It may not look like the best road. I mean, we lived in San Diego 20 years, and I said, Cheryl, we're moving to Arizona. It didn't look like the best road moving from San Diego to Arizona for my wife. And she did it willingly because she knew that's what God's plan was, that's what God's desire was, to move us to Arizona. And we were in Queen Creek for a number of years before we eventually moved up here and planted the church. And at that point, it was like, God, that doesn't look like the right road. But God said, that's the road. Don't worry. Wait till you get to the destination. We're not there yet. We're on our way to the destination. But we're taking joy in the road that God has placed us on. We have peace with what God has brought us to here. And this is our family. What kind of joy is that? I mean, God gave us a new family, a bigger family. And it's awesome. Peter now is going to raise the bar in verse 15 where he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So he says, God is holy, so we should be holy. Every morning, I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say, that's not holy. But of course, I'm looking at the flesh, right? And I know that this, I haven't achieved holiness yet. But that's the destination. We're not perfect, but we will be perfect. We're going to be perfected. We're going to be holy. And right now, in God's eyes, we are. Can you imagine that? You see, when He looks at us, He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our thoughts as being bad as they are. What He sees is His Son, Jesus Christ. And He sees us through that filter. But we're still supposed to be holy just to see us. That's our goal, is to be that way. notice the progression of Peter's writings here. He started out saying being sober. And that's something that we need to do to get our minds right with God, being sober and clear-minded. And then we're told to be in obedience. We're supposed to live our lives for God in obedience. And then we're told to be holy. You see, you know, being sober, I could do that on my own. I haven't drank in years. You know, and I can focus my attention when I want to. I can be sober on my own. I can do it. And I can be obedient to God most of the time. A lot of it, okay. Some of the time, I can be obedient. But being holy, impossible. Impossible. So I need the Holy Spirit to be holy. I need the Holy Spirit to be obedient, and I need the Holy Spirit to be sober. See, none of these things I can do on my own. We can't do it on our own. Because if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need Him to be part of our lives and to intervene. All we'd have to do is shoot an email or a text off every once in a while. Hey, hope all is good up there. Can't wait to get there. But we need Him every moment of every day in our lives. Because how would we know if we were to the right of the road or to the left of the road if we didn't have discernment by the Holy Spirit to know that we're not on the road? You see, quite often we go a little bit off the road to the left or the right, and we don't realize it immediately until we're a little further off the road. And then we're saying, hey, this doesn't seem right. Why doesn't it seem right? Because the Holy Spirit is convicting us of not being on the road. And the only way that we're going to achieve holiness to the point where God can accept holiness is by staying focused on Him and staying on the road. If we're going to continue doing what we're doing, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it, then we're missing the whole message of the gospel. Then we're missing what God's message is screaming at us. He's not mad at us. He loves us. And we're never going to be disappointed by anything that God asks us to do. So all we have to do is stay focused on what He's telling us to do. Be sensitive to that. So as we see things getting harder and harder, the point of holiness just seems impossible. But we know that with God, all things are possible. You see, the things that are impossible for us, not impossible for God. He's proven that over and over again. Our holiness grows when we trust that God is the one doing the work. Our holiness expands when we trust in Him, we obey Him, when we're sober and focused on Him. Our holiness grows. And it's not our holiness, it's His. It's just growing inside of us. In verse 17, we're told that if we call on the Father, not meaning that we have a choice. Well, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's not what it's really saying. What he's really saying is when you call on the Father, we need to call on Him. Those that don't call on the Father do not have a relationship with Him. Let me say that again. Those who do not call on the Father do not have a relationship with Him. If they had a relationship with Him, they would call on Him. And sometimes we may not talk for a few days, weeks, or whatever, and then we come together and we have a relationship. We can talk. I don't look at you and say, you know, wow, who are you? What are you doing here? Unless, of course, you're visitors, and then I just met you. But those of you that come here on a regular basis, this is your home. This is your home church. We're family. And when we get, it's like, hey, I'm home with my family here. And that's how we need to be with God at all times. He's our Father, and we can go to Him at any time. And we can pour our heart out, and He will never turn us away when we do that. But we should also have reverence for Him. A lot of times, we just look at Him as Santa Claus, and, you know, we just want to share what's on our mind, and, oh, Lord, those people make me so upset, I don't even want to, you know, Lord, you know, and you know they're jerks. And so, you know, and but sometimes we're just venting, and we're not showing any reverence. We're not showing just the love back. See, He gives us all the love. He pours it all out. It's all free and flowing all the time. He'd like to see some of it back, too. Not just the wish list, but He wants to actually hear from our heart that we appreciate Him and that we appreciate what He's done for us. But it's not a fear of God like, oh, He's going to wipe me out. It's not that kind of fear. It's reverence. It's love. It's respect that we have for Him. Peter gives us another reason to respect. In verse 18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It isn't money that we give that's going to redeem us. It isn't how much we give or how much time we spend in the church, what we do for God. That's not what redeems us. It's part of the obedience. It's part of the lifestyle of being a Christian. It's just what we do. Because we're saved, because we're believers, we give back to the Lord because He's given it to us in the first place. We give out of our abundance back to the Lord what He has given us. We give out of our abundance. You know, they didn't, in the old days, before Christ, the traditions of the Jews were to do whatever the letter of the law said. This is what they do. They had different offerings. They had the peace offering and the burnt offering. And they had all of these different things. The Levitical law had five offerings that they had to do on a regular basis. And, you know, that's what they did to the letter of the law. But we don't live under the law like that. We're under grace. And so we live our lives as children of the living God, not as people living under laws, under rules. You know, I think about the laws and I think about how, you know, following laws. How do we, well, we live under laws here in the United States, right? But fortunately, the government isn't like God, although they try to be. They are not like God. See, because God sees everything all the time. You see, if the government saw everything all the time, I wouldn't be able to afford the tickets I would have right now coming back from California. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. But the thing is that God loves and He has patience and He has mercy and He has grace and He has an abundance of what I need. They were living by the letter of the law back then, and that's how come He said that they were living not redeemed from corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. The fathers lived in this traditional conduct that was aimless. Now, there are many that are still living that way today. They go to church on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, they do whatever they want, and then they go back on Sunday, and they say, you know, oh God, I messed up, okay, now, you know, and then they go back into their cycle again. They think it's okay, and it can't possibly be okay to live like that, because that demonstrates that we don't really have a relationship with God. Because we would know on Monday that we're still children of the living God on Monday, just as we were on Sunday and on Tuesday and on every day that ends with a Y. We are children of the living God. And so we should live like it. And that's what Peter is getting at here. It was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not by anything else in the world. All the wealth in the world can't save us. But it was only through the blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot, the perfect Lamb of God. Our offerings aren't supposed to be out of obligation. Our offerings are merely just to demonstrate our love for him, our appreciation for what he has given to us. That's what our offerings are about. And our offerings are the level of our appreciation. That's what we offer, to the level of our appreciation. Now, I don't go checking how much you appreciate what God has blessed you with. That's not my purview. Everything comes in and the bills go out, and I don't know. You know. It's your relationship with God. And it's between you and God. But I believe that we, as we are blessed in abundance, should return to God part of that blessing to demonstrate our love and appreciation for him. That's the most important thing for us, not for God. His economy isn't hurting right now. The market has not affected him. You know, he's not saying, oh, thank you, President Trump, for the market going up. So he's not saying that. He doesn't care. He cares about this. And we give according to our heart. Our heart is where our offerings come from. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about life. Everything that we do, that we offer, that we give, our time, our love, our compassion, everything that we give comes from our heart. But remember that it all came from him in the first place. Everything that we're able to give out came from him first. And so we're just returning to him the many blessings that he's given us. We can't earn our way to heaven, but we can show how much we appreciate what God has done for us while we're here. And he's going to show us how much he appreciated what we did here when we get there.